All right, we're here. Welcome to another episode of the Joe and Doug Show. We're pumped. It's finally starting to feel like fall here in Youngstown. I don't know. I've been the sun has been weird being out as much as it's been, but it's supposed to rain this weekend, and it's going to feel like fall. It's going to be nice. I love the fall, so I've been a little disappointed.
Yeah, that's like Friday, I think. Friday, we're going to go out of the 70s and start dipping down into the 60s.
So. Yeah. Haven't even, you know, hadn't had to, you know, we've had the air on a little bit, but usually, you know, you can turn it off, open the windows. It's been a really nice September, October here. Sweet. So we want to talk about fasting, and we're going to get into this. We dabbled into it a little bit and kind of in the middle of the show committed to doing a fast.
Yes.
Next week, because that's what happens.
Did you regret that? I mean,
in the slightest. I'm actually really pumped. I haven't fasted in a bit. So it's one of those things I've been wanting to do spiritually as well as I think for the hit a little physical reset button for me. So we started talking about the benefits of it and why do it. And Joe got into a little bit of his stuff, but we want to talk about fasting. And here's the thing. Next Tuesday, after the show, you know, you're going to watch, then you're going to go to bed that night. And then when you wake up Wednesday, you're not going to eat anything all day.
That's right.
And so if you want to join us in the fast, you can join us Wednesday. And then Thursday, when we come into the show, we can all break the fast together. You can have your favorite food and we'll have a good time. Joe's bringing Joe treats for us on Thursday. So yes. I don't know what they are, but I like treats and I like Joe. So it should be
maybe
good.
Shouldn't call them treats. That might be overselling it a little bit, but
I'm law of attractioning what okay. you're going
all
to
right.
bring.
All right.
It's
right.
going it to be,
tr- it's treats.
It's going to be treats. It's going to be delicious. So fasting, we dabbled and we started touching on the entry level of it. So I want to talk about it from a spiritual standpoint.
Yes.
I also want to talk about it from a physical standpoint.
Okay.
And I also want to talk about the hacks of it. You started giving some hacks last week, but we'll get into some of the practical, I think, at the end of the show so that those that are going to fast with us starting next Tuesday can start to prepare. Because you're saying Sunday, you have to start to prepare to not eat on Wednesday.
Yes.
So, so real quick, go through kind of, do you remember the first time you fasted? Do you have a history with fasting? Was it a decade ago? Was it a year ago? How long have you been doing fasting?
Okay, so I didn't do it for very healthy reasons when I did it. This was high school wrestling.
Yeah, I knew it.
I was 103 and I wanted to be like 115. And so I was in a constant struggle of losing immense amount of weight. And so, you know, most of my diet for a long time was like lemon water. And lots of jogging and lots of those sweatsuits.
And
so I didn't do it for the best reasons, but I learned a whole lot about what your body does when you don't give it any kind of nutrition whatsoever. And when you're a growing boy, it doesn't do good stuff, right? and I honestly, when I was not fasting, I probably ate crappier stuff. So proportionally, right, it was probably better for me. But
sure.
But my, you know, I got sick, I got headaches. I mean, it wasn't great.
My brother also wrestled, my youngest brother, Dan, and I can remember him running in trash bags and cutting. And his freshman year, he cut from 201 to like 161 for wrestling.
Dang,
yeah,
that's a lot.
It was a lot. And he did it, you know, not healthy, you know, trash bags and not eating and spitting in cups and all sorts of stuff that you do when you wrestle. But I can remember one night he had like, you know, the trash bags on and everything. He's all wrapped up. He'd gone for this massive run and he goes, and I just find him laying in the middle of the lawn, like lifeless at like 8:30 at night. And I'm headed back to college at this point. It had to have been like his junior year or something. I was in college. And so I was getting ready to go back to college. He was prepping for wrestling stuff. And I just like stepped over his body very intentionally. And I was like, you okay? And he just gave me a thumbs up. You know, I was like, all right, you're still alive. You know, good luck. But yeah, so a lot of people get into it, you know, athletically. There are people that have to make weight for certain things. They have to cut, you know, tremendous amount of calories out of their life to be able to move into that. So you got started that way. How did you get started healthy? So fast forward, Joe's how old and decides, you know what, I'm going to fast for my health. When was the first time you did that?
All right, so I was probably in my 20s. It was just when I started doing computer work. So it had to have been probably like 98, 99. So it was a while ago.
Okay.
And what was happening is I would go to a bunch of places to service their computer works and networks. And I got exposure to a ton of people touching their keyboards, grossed out as it is. Right. Mm. And I got sick a lot. Like I had colds. I had, you know, I was just in bad shape. If it was going around, I caught it. And
don't
I was
say
so
the word.
Yeah. I was really, I was sick of being sick.
Yeah.
And so I started looking into ways. Like my doctors couldn't figure it out. It you know, perplexed the whole medical community. So I wanted to fix it and not be sick anymore. And a lot of the stuff that I unpacked had nothing to do with my exposure to it. It's just the state my body was in that I was leaving myself super susceptible to. And, you know, later on, I kind of like connected the dots back afterwards. I had a friend I've mentioned before that does cancer research in Utah. And one of the big catalysts for the research they do is glucose. And so when you think about how much glucose you have in your body, you're sort of like giving Miracle-Gro to everything that would want to be an invader and making it really easy. So I was like, okay, what can I do to make it hard for viruses and bacteria to infiltrate? And I'm going to deprive it of glucose. And that's where I got on the track of just, you know, not eating healthier for the sake of vitamins and minerals and whatever, but just not to be sick anymore because of that stuff.
No, that's brilliant. And so part of that regimen then became fasting, because fasting does what for your immune system? What are you saying is the benefit?
So a couple things. Like the first thing is that your body has the ability to sort of like do its repair, right? Inflammation. You get to sort of battle your body in a state of inflammation all the time. That includes your heart and, you know, organs. And if you remove glucose from it, you remove, you know, even like red meats at times, you get less inflammation. So when your body's in a state of rest, a lot of that stuff, you know, the energy that used to be spent combating food and combating cell repair or inflammation now has a chance to actually work on cell repair for damaged and anomalous cells.
So, and that keeps you, that helps boost your body. It helps you be more prepared to fight off the various viruses and stuff that come your way.
Right.
So have you ever fasted for spiritual reasons, or has it all been fairly physical and health reasons?
I can't say that it's been spiritual. I don't know. Or the intention has never been spiritual. Sure. Like there's been some parts in it where you came to a little spirituality.
Hey, day three of a fast, everybody gets spiritual. I'm just saying, hey, whether you believe in God or not, you get spiritual.
Yes, you grumble, pray.
Yeah. I heard a preacher say one time, you know, nobody fasts to get holy. You know, when you fast, you just get angry.
Yeah, right. That's totally
and it brings
true.
The stuff that's inside out.
Yeah. So here's a little puzzlement. Like when I first started running, you know, you think that your body gives you good feedback when you're running, that you're tired or you're sore, or you're injuring yourself. And then I start hearing runners like, hey, when your body first starts telling you you're tired, just disregard. And I was like, what? Disregard your body saying it's tired. It's tired. It's not going to give up. So then one time I was jogging along and I started getting tired. My muscles started feeling like they were getting overflexed and over. Then I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to keep running. And wouldn't you know, like 5 or 10 minutes after I gave up on giving it what it was after, it wasn't tired anymore. I was like, how the hell is that even possible that your brain can lie to you? And so that got me into what I mentioned last time, which was ghrelin, right? Yeah. Ghrelin is a chemical that gets released in your blood to tell you that you're supposed to eat. So when it gets scared, like you get anxious or you get fearful of something, like your body goes into protective mode and says, hey, the one thing I know is that when you get in a predicament, you got to go eat or else you're going to die. Right. And that's its only job. So, but if you ignore ghrelin and you take away the things that cause ghrelin to be there, you forget to eat. And I thought that was the most foreign thing on the planet, that how I could say it's been about 2 days. Am I hungry? Right. Because it's a weird thing to be in.
Interesting. So for me, the fasting side of things was always in a spiritual context. So growing up in church, we did hunger strikes to raise money for the food pantry. We did, you know, these 24-hour, and they were fast. You didn't eat. And, you know, you would do fun games with kids at church to kind of like occupy yourself. And at the end, you'd have like, you know, someone would cook like this massive pancake breakfast or whatever.
Oh, you're killing me with that.
Yeah. So it was not for health reasons. It was very spiritual, Joe. The maple syrup was that good. But, you know, and you did it for different causes. And then, you know, there were times as I got older that people would fast for spiritual clarity, to kind of come into a space where, you know, I don't need food. Jesus says that, you know, I have food that you know nothing about, and my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And it's kind of this concept that I would take it even this way for even those of our listeners that aren't necessarily church people or, you know, believe in God. It's when you're so focused and so passionate on something else, it feeds you. And so I don't know if you've ever been in that project and you've been going, and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I forgot to eat today. And you get all the way through. Why? Because that project was feeding you. Now, it wasn't giving you the nutrients, it wasn't giving you the vitamins, but it was feeding you in that way. And so my fasting has all been very spiritual. I've read spiritual books on fasting. I've done a bunch of 1 day fasts. 3 day and 7 day, you start getting into some stuff. I know plenty of people that do 21 day and 40 day stuff. You really have that. That takes a spiritual and a physical commitment, as much as, you know, people are like, oh, I'm going to fast for 3 days. Like, 3 days you have to prep for, you have to think through. It's not just like, oh, I'm just not going to eat. Maybe when you're young enough, but at a certain level, you're going to have to think through that on a physical. So it's a pairing of the two. Right. But in the spiritual sense, you're saying, look, I'm going to deny my body the one thing that it needs to sustain itself and to grow, because there's something that's more important than that. And that's kind of the spiritual idea behind fasting. And we have all kinds of different fasts now. And we're talking about not eating. Obviously, you have to drink water or you will die. It's 3 days without water and you start, you know, going a little crazy. So you have to drink throughout it. And some people will do lemon water and juices or whatever, or Gatorade. I've seen some people do when they do 21 day fast, because it helps give some of those chemicals and nutrients that you need, or various other supplemental style drinks. We have fasts, spiritual fasts like the Daniel fast. A lot of churches do that. So in the book of Daniel, there are four guys that get taken into Babylon. They're given the choice meats and food from the king's table. And Daniel says, you know, that food's unclean according to scripture. So I'm going to just, if you just give me fruits, vegetables, and water, that'd be great. And the guard was like, you're going to get me killed. Like, I can't do that. Like, you have to eat like everybody else. And he goes, do a test with me, feed me that way for 21 days and see if I'm not looking better than everybody else. And so he got fruits, vegetables, and nuts, no meat, nothing from the king's table. And after 21 days, he was awesome. So a lot of churches do, you know, a 21 day Daniel fast, because, you know, it lets people eat foods. And a lot of times we're eating a lot of processed foods anyway, a lot of high sugar, high salt. And if you're just eating raw vegetables, fruits, and nuts, I can remember the first time doing a Daniel fast, everybody got caffeine headaches because there's no coffee. And everybody was like, after 3 days, they were like, my head's going to explode. Yep. But once you get through that, and you get through that first week, your body is just cleaning out all of the junk, because you're just eating whole foods and you're just, you know, you start to feel, for me anyway, without having meat in the mix, it was very challenging for 21 days. But, you know, you learn which nuts you like, which ones you don't real quick, because that's where you're getting a lot of your protein from. You can do some, you know, some other stuff, but they have guidelines for it. And then people fast stuff too. Like, my wife and I have done tech fasts before, like where we're like, hey, you know, if I have to respond to an email or phone call for work, that's fine. But at home, we're not turning the TV on. We typically do them for a week or 10 days. And it's awesome. Like, we'll do that and it just clears everything. Like, you know, not scrolling through Facebook, you're not looking at Instagram, similar to you limiting your phone, you know, intake, but to just like, hey, this is a tool that, all right, if I have to use it for work, I'll use it. But other than that, we're reading, we're doing puzzles, we're talking to people like it's the 50s, like, you know, you're like having face-to-face conversations. And so there's lots of variations on fasting, and they all have different results, but they all affect your body the same physically. And so that's why I think the physical side's important. But for me, it was always spiritual. I never thought about the physical side. You just like, hey, I'm going for 3 days. And a lot of times you just toughed it out because I made this spiritual commitment and I'm going to see it through. And, you know, some days you're like, why did I make that commitment? You know, but if you prepare on the physical, you'll have physical results. So this can be really good for you physically. And it's really, really big for you spiritually. Now, you mentioned you had spiritual breakthroughs sometimes when you weren't even approaching it with a spiritual kind of connotation to it. You were just doing it for health reasons. And then in the middle of it, you had an epiphany, or what would you say?
What happens is, like I said, the mental game that you play through this is much more of an adversary than the, you know, the physical, right? And so what ends up happening, you know, I'm a regimented guy, so I'm not knocking being into a regiment, but the problem is our bodies are really good at coping and being able to build our infrastructure, our internal infrastructure, to deal with our regular schedule. And when you throw that off and you go do something else, then it causes the brain to be able to process things through different pathways. So you take the same stretch of road to work every day, and it gets really good at following that stretch of road, versus we're like, you know what, I'm going to go to work a different way every time. You're forcing your brain to build different pathways to different areas. It's almost like if you're weightlifting, you know, like when you give yourself a learning deal, you're getting into a new territory, but you're, you know, 90% of your day was all familiar territory. And we kind of like that. We kind of have most of our strength from what's familiar.
Well, it's so true. You talk about familiar. So we've been doing the podcast down here almost 2 years, and I drive the exact same way down here. I come down Market Street all the way in. I make a right, make a left. Well, the other day I had put a different address in here because I wasn't necessarily going back home, but I was going that direction. And I didn't think anything of it, but I didn't know where the end spot was.
Okay.
And it took me, instead of making the right to the middle of Market Street where you hit all those lights, it took me straight. And then I made the right by the Covelli Center. And I was like, there's less lights. I hadn't gone this way. But my brain was like, why are you going this way? Like,
right.
It was so hardwired to go the direction that I normally went. So you're absolutely right. We build those pathways in, and especially nutritionally and otherwise, too.
So it's what happens is you get new experiences, even though it's the same street, like the same way, it's new to you, and your brain starts looking at it with a little bit of, you know, honeymoon phase. It's brand new and it's neat. It's good. Awesome. And so like it was more of like an observable difference where you have these epiphanies because now you're sitting back and you're looking deeper into things than you normally would. Cause when you're familiar with it, you've seen it all and you're just like on autopilot and driving through. So that's where it was with me. I felt like there was a whole lot in my regular world that I was missing out on. So now I clear that deck often, move everything that I'm used to. I'm like, I've done this 3 days in a row, the same, boom, move it all off and I'm going to do it a new way.
Yeah, no. And that's very true. I think even from a spiritual standpoint, you know, you get so regimented in your approach, whether you do, you know, morning prayers or whether you read scripture or whether, you know, everybody kind of has a routine or whether there's some meditation involved and you do the same thing over and over and it feels good. And there's nothing wrong with routine, but every once in a while, it's just nice to just go, all right, I'm not eating. And instead of eating, I'm going to pray during those meals or I'm going to do that stuff. And you'll have these breakthrough, epiphany, whatever word you want to use for that, moments where you just go like, wow, I've been waiting for an answer for that. And it was so much more clear in that moment. I always say to people, you know, the number one place that like people hear answered prayer is like in the shower or in their car. And it's because distractions are limited at that point. So when you take away the distraction of having to make your meal, clean up your meal, like think of all the time you're adding to your schedule in that particular day, you picking up 2 hours maybe of, you know, I don't have to stop and think about that. And now I can put that mental energy of making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever, you know, or going out to lunch with coworkers and small talk. And I can put that into something more significant. And so I know for me, the spiritual breakthrough on some of this stuff is really big. There's actually an instance in scripture, Joe. Boom. Yes. I said one earlier and I didn't cue you up.
Right.
where Jesus sends his disciples out and they're ministering to people and they bring this person to them and they're unable to drive out a demon from this person. And they're like, basically like they show up to Jesus and like, what the heck? Your dudes couldn't do this. And Jesus looks at it and says, this one only comes out by prayer and fasting. And it's an interesting statement. You're sitting there thinking like, you know, somebody's got a demonic problem. You know, you're going to pray, but Jesus seems to add this element of fasting to it. And I have often wondered, and lots of different preachers have their take on why those get paired together. But there's something about self-denial when you look at the scriptures in general and from a very Christian standpoint, there's something about denying yourself something like food that does something for you spiritually. When you deny yourself through discipline, certain things, it does something to you. It builds something inside of you. And so there's something in that that unlocks something in a spiritual realm that you can't get any other way.
So think of the brain as sort of like a sort of like this grouping of wires that have different gauges, right? You have really heavy gauge and you have really light gauges. Well, there's some parts of your brain that you use all the time that build up to these really heavy gauges. And so when you're very straightforward on it, you know exactly what to do. Right. You get immediate rewards from it. You have lots of successes on the real thick wires. But there are other areas of the brain that don't usually get much exercise. So you have some pathways there. Mm-hmm. They're just like single wire pathways. The problem is, or not the problem, but the way that you build up these wires is you figure out ways to inauthentically use those wires because they're not going to get used on their own. They're not supposed to be. They're not part of your biology. They're not being exercised naturally. So if you can do something like, okay, not eat, it throws you into a new territory. Now you're going to be doing something else where you're normally eating. One of those wires get to grow a little bit. And when those things excite and get bigger, you might stumble on like having more faith because a part of your brain comes to life where it wasn't, you know, to life before.
Look at you bringing biology into Jesus. Wow. No, and that you're 100% spot on. You know, we talk in church circles, you know, the Bible says we have to renew our mind. And we do that by not being conformed, but by being transformed. And that's the whole idea. The concept that you're talking about is very biological. So we have those pathways. That's why we repeat the same sins,
right?
Because we've created that pathway. And so it's very difficult for someone who has a habit of pornography or anger and lashing out at people. Like that's a pathway that's been driven in probably since they were a kid.
Yeah. Think about people who smoke. They couldn't do it right off the get-go.
Yeah.
Right. They had to do it for a while. And now it becomes like something that they can't do without.
Exactly. And the only way to break that is a complete transformation. And so you have to do something that you've never done to get something you've never gotten. And so doing something like fasting breaks up that stuff and puts you in that different state. I really like that. I think that's a good way. Cause a lot of times you hear from, you know, people in church and stuff, they're like, all right, the church is doing a fast. They're like, I don't want to not eat. Like, what's the benefit of doing this? Well, there are some health benefits, but we're not doing it necessarily in my case for the health benefits. But there's spiritual stuff happening here. And I think it's a great way to put it in that sense, like, hey, you've had some of these thought patterns and you want to break them. All right, well, we're going to break this by transforming something in your world and watching it transform your mind.
Even those things that you're uber familiar with when you go to a new place, like I find myself when I travel, I try to stay at the same places because it's easier, right? When I go to a new place, I have to figure stuff out and it's uncomfortable sometimes. But if I get there, I'd eat the dinner the same way or I'd start the fire the same way. But when I'm over here, I'm thinking about like figuring it out. So I don't do the normal thing.
That's so interesting. You know, I'm a creature of habit and a lot of those, like I go to the restaurant and I order one of the like two things and it's usually the same thing. When I go to BJ's, I get the sriracha Brussels sprouts. Every time.
I do too.
I love the sriracha Brussels sprouts. They're great. But like, I'll look at the whole menu. Like I'm going to order something else. And then I get the exact same thing.
All right. So tell me this, like when you've gone through your fast, tell me what your body does. And then we're going to compare notes on this, like from a physical, like how you're processing it and your actual physical body reaction.
So I would say there's two things. So when you're going into it for spiritual purpose, again, I've never done it for health reasons. So I haven't necessarily been paying attention to that side. I've been fighting that side probably with the wrong ammunition.
Okay.
But you go into it. And when you have yourself in a place of just heightened kind of spiritual alertness, you're kind of not building yourself up into a frenzy, but when you have that passion button click, that faith button click, you can overcome the stuff physically. For me, the witching hour is usually the first day right after dinner. I want to eat everything in sight from a physical standpoint. So breakfast, no problem. I've done without breakfast before. You get to lunch and you know what? You can push through, you can work, drink a bunch of water, you know, do what you got to do. And then, but you get home for dinner and you start winding down and trying to go to bed that first night. If you're going to do more than a 24-hour fast, bed is for me that like 7 o'clock to like 10 o'clock window, my body is like, let's go right now and eat everything in your refrigerator. And so for me, the way that I combated that when I was in college and when I've done them other times is, you know, I'm going to fill that time with stuff, whether that's prayer, worship, whether sometimes it's just distract me. You know, we had a nature trail at college. Sometimes I would just go walk the nature trail because I'm like, I just got to get out of my dorm or I'm going to eat what's in that fridge.
Right.
So.
Okay. And so let me kind of give those of you who are going to be doing this, let me tell you like what Doug is describing there is that, you know, we live in a prosperous time. We are not used to not eating.
Right.
Our ancestors or people before us, they might go kill a deer and not eat again until they can catch another, you know, kill another deer. So there might be a week that goes by. They ate really well. Right. Yep, yep. And then they foraged and ate some light stuff before they could eat again. Well, we're not that. We're eating a deer every single day and there's never a lack.
It's the prayer Jesus teaches us, you know, give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer that everybody's prayed. And I always find it super disingenuous in America. Most people are not praying for their daily bread. Like we have months worth in our cupboard.
Exactly.
And so, you know, in our pantry. And so you're absolutely right. There's definitely a different place that we're in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when you hit that bad point, usually what ends up happening is that you get a blood sugar dump. Right. Mm-hmm. And so your body's used to like really being able to get insulin response to give your blood glucose and then you feel good. And when that doesn't happen, you feel a little starved out of that. Mm-hmm. So one thing that you can do going in from Sunday is you're going to wean your body into not having a meal that's going to give you a big insulin response. If you go to Google and look at foods that have really low insulin responses, you don't have
low glycemic index.
Yes, right? Big time. And so the lower the number, the longer it takes and the harder your body has to work to be able to give you an insulin thing. So maybe you eat, a piece of candy and it goes right through your system within 45 minutes. It gives you all the sugar right away and then you're done, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the ones you want to avoid. But you might take something like a rice, and a rice has 1/4 of the glycemic, on the index. And so it takes 4 times that amount of time. You get the same amount of overall glucose, but it happens slower in a staged out deal. So if you eat as low glycemic as you can going into it, your body almost feels like it's getting into, getting a sense that there's no deer, the deer is running out because you're eating less and less, you're getting less and less of the response. It's not going to be as abrupt when you hit that first day.
So what would be an example of some foods on the low glycemic index, foods that people should start eating between Sunday and Tuesday to prep for this?
Well, see, Daniel was really intelligent, right? He really was. And my go-to is nuts, like nuts and all fiber. I'm talking like green leaf lettuce, any vegetable that's kale. Green, anything that's in dark. Yeah. I'm totally about that. That might be a little too low. You might want to pick something more on the medium grade. If you do a lot of sweet, especially soda drinkers, because it's really bad. You can go from 4 sodas a day to 1 soda a day and get the same response as me eating nuts all the time.
Yeah. There's so much sugar in soda. Right. And if you do the diet soda, yes, you don't get the 0 calories, but you get to pickle your brain cells and all kinds of fun chemicals that go in there. And I'm guilty as charged because growing up, we were big soda drinkers and we had dessert after every dinner. I remember having the gallon tubo ice cream, in there, and we ate lots of carbs and fried and everything else. And when I got married, my wife was like, well, I don't drink soda, so we're not keeping it in the house. And so I would only get it when I went out. I
love her. She's the best.
Well, I wanted to be married to her. I kind of liked her. So I was like, I guess. And
she saved you, man.
She did big time. I'm sure I would be worse off if we had it in the house. And so, but then I was like, I'd go out and she'd be like, well, just drink water. Like today we had a nice lunch today, and we were at Springfield Grill, and we had this, I was thinking about ordering a diet soda, and then I got the water and I had the lemon in, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. In my head, I wanted to order one so bad, but I didn't. So, but for me, that's the trade-off. I get the less calories, but yeah, it's not necessarily good for you. We could have a whole conversation, I'm sure, with Dr. Mike on diet soda at some point. But yeah, so cutting soda out's huge. So staying away from the processed sugars is really the idea. The low glycemic index is as much whole food as you can, high fiber, protein, but staying away from, the sugars and the candy and the ice cream. And
yes. And so what's going to happen is here's what's inside your body. What's going to happen when Doug decides that he isn't going to eat, it takes that 4-8 hours where your body really isn't feeling anything different. You got enough stored liver glycogen that it will give you all of the glucose that you need. And then, so you won't feel that. When you get to the 17-hour, 18-hour mark, your body does change. Like it starts doing and producing different things. It starts slowing down. And I think if depending on where you're at, but it could be 2 to 3 days before all of that glucose has been exhausted. So if you were to take all those things, pack your liver full through glucose that's a little bit less dense or more dense, and that it takes a while, you might get through the entire 3 days and not really have a crash where you feel like you want to, punch yourself in the face, right? But if you run out of that glucose, then you're going to end up in ketosis, where your body's going to switch over and start using fat because it's totally run out of the glucose. So it goes from, I'm going to run the glucose that's in your blood, then what's out of your liver. After your liver's done, it tries to get some out of your muscle. It's not going to get a whole lot. And then it's going to go right into ketosis, where it tries to get the ketones from your body fat.
Interesting. So fasting then is the secret to weight loss.
It is. It really is.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things biblically that you look back and you see where God commands the people to fast throughout the year. There's certain days, certain holy times and stuff, that, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and other days where God requires his people to fast. And you look at that and it's like God designed this whole thing and he knew how it worked. And so by putting people in these spaces where they would fast, he was doing stuff to their bodies that they didn't know,
right?
But he understood. And I love going back when you can look at the principles in scripture and go, oh yeah, look at all the health benefits. For instance, God's been banning pork for forever. And now we're like, well, we know bacon's terrible for us. And he was banning it before, you know, 4,000 years ago.
Right.
So it's like he knew.
All right. So when you get to a certain level, like you from the physical side, what can I do to cheer you on, to keep you in the game and give you what you need to continue into the second and the third day of this?
So for me, I'm social in nature, and I function so much better in community than I do by myself. For me, it's that constant feedback. I tell my wife all the time, you know, I'm like, just like celebrating me when I do the dishes or like something like that makes me want to do them again. And I was like, when you pretend like it didn't happen or you critique it, makes me never want to do them again. And so even in working out or in, you know, fasting, when I've had, you know, people to do it with, for me, it's that, hey, how you doing? You know, those text check-ins, like, hey, you got it, keep going, push through. That's, and I'm like, hey, I don't want to let Joe down. And, you know, it's the psychological for me is the social. And that's the game that if I have the right person in the right spot, it's a win-win.
Okay. Now let's talk about the after too, because this week I've done all 24 hour fast. I've eaten once a day, let 24 hours go by, eat again, let 24 hours go by, eat again. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of, that's my warm up routine for doing one of these extended ones, because you gotta, you know, you will find yourself too. Another cool thing, you're not eating. So you do other stuff. So like, what the heck were you doing when you were, you know, would have been eating right about now? You can get yourself into some cool stuff. Same thing with smoking. I'm like, all those times that people are out there smoking, right? And they're socializing, of course. Yeah. And I'm not like,
how long did you smoke? Because I know you said
it was probably a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't long, but it was long enough to, you know. Yeah. But anyway, all the time that you invest in that thing, automatic, all of a sudden you get that time back. Like, how much food preparation, eating, and cleaning up do you do every day? Well, that's like 2 hours that I could hand back to you if you did a 24-hour fast.
Exactly.
So what condition would you have to be in to do that every day of your life? And would it be healthy? That's, if we get the doc on next time, I want to say, if I, like, I do it all the time. Like, I fast at least once a week, and I do a big fast every month. Is that healthy? Am I pushing on some things that I shouldn't be pushing on? I feel amazing. And, you know, I feel like I'm as healthy. And my doctor, Mr. O'Brien, he, you know,
my doctor too.
It's basically O'Brien. When you compare it to another person, like, is it healthier compared to me doing something different? Maybe, but compared to everybody else on the planet, the guy who's drinking alcohol, I'm loads ahead of him. So.
Yeah, I could hear O'Brien. the post, the finish up on this. So Thursday, break the fast. How does Joe break the fast? What sort of treats are you going to bring, and what are we going to do?
So you basically kill off a lot of what's in your stomach right now. So we use a lot of bacteria in our stomach to digest food. And when you don't give it anything, it dies off. Yeah. So it's in a state where when you introduce food again, what you were able to digest easily because you had that good bacteria, it's not there anymore. So you have a choice at this point. You can go back to what you were eating before and just make the same bacteria, or you can reset and repopulate what's in your gut with different bacteria. So people who eat fish, they've developed bacteria that takes care of fish. So if you didn't like a food before, you have a choice at this point to, I want to like this food. And if I do it a couple times, your bacteria will start giving you an advantage.
Change.
It will. Totally. So like, if you go without sugar for a little while, you used to really like sugar, and now it's overwhelming and too much. You're like, how did that happen? Well, your chemistry changed.
My wife says that all the time. So I undoubtedly have the sweet tooth in the family. Charlotte has a pretty good sweet tooth, but like, Graham and her will crush a bag of chips and they'll like give them salt to the, you know, till the cows come home. But like, birthday cake, she wants like the light whipped, you know, icing. She wants, she's like, I can't do the butter. It's just like too much. She can have one bite of it and it's just overwhelming to her. And my body's like, can't get enough of that crap.
Right.
And so but you're saying you can actually change that.
You can at that moment, if you choose to decide that you're going to go down any path. I mean, I will scarf down sardines like it's nobody's business. Right. I crave.
I have had sardines one time in my life. You scarf them down.
Scarfed. Like I would, if they didn't have so much heavy metal in them, I would eat them every day. Wow. I give myself one a week, and I look forward to that once a week sardines because my body has a preference now for certain types of foods. And I'm in the salt category where I have to eat extra. Okay. So when you don't do glucose, your body has a little bit more trouble carrying water around, water molecules around and the stuff that you eat. So I have to force absorption a little bit more than you might. So I have to eat more electrolytes. I have to find some of these heavy things. Like I eat a lot of olives. Why? Because I get salt in olives and it's more of a natural variety than your regular table
salt. Have you tried the salts with the clove of garlic shoved in the middle?
No.
But you need to.
I need to. That sounds...
Bro, it will change your
life. Okay, I'm in.
I love olives, and I found olives with like whole raw garlic cloves I'm pushed totally in there. In.
Like, is this a specialty, or is this
I found it at Giant Eagle.
Oh, I'm totally there.
Yeah, I'll have to, next time I get it, I'll pick you up one.
Cool.
Because it is...
Yeah. All right.
My wife doesn't like the way I smell the next day, but
yeah. It's... And, you know, I give them warnings that that's coming down the pike, so we're good. But yeah, I mean, and what you pick for you start to getting some kind of like your sweet tooth going away or something like that. You got to pick something else that you were to develop. So like the first thing that I'll do is I'll take cod oil, and this is basically some fish oil. Yeah. And any kind is okay. But that's what I want to start generating in my stomach. So I start doing fish oil because it's nice and easy. It's like mint flavor. It's not even overly fishy. But yeah, that's the first,
mint,
that's first thing that I give my body. And then we'll go right to bone broth. Bone broth is after the fish oil.
Do you have a particular fish oil that you do?
Brand? Or? I'll give you that message of the one that I buy. And I take it about every day.
Okay. Yeah, I take fish oil every day. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. All right. And then now you give your body a little bit after you've done that, because basically it's going to exhaust a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be as polite as I possibly can. You got to let your body go through that whole exhaustion, because you don't want to get dehydrated.
Right.
And so let it do its thing. And then I'll go into my salts, and all of the salts are really hardcore on your stomach. Right. So it's almost like you have to start eating some food so you can start including some of these, the magnesiums and whatnot. But having a salad with olives with a little bit of dressing is like the next round after. So you're like ramping back in an oil, then, like a bone broth, and then you've got solid. Now you're full. Like you eat 2 tablespoons of something and you feel like you can't eat anything. And then you can get back into normalized stuff where you get the protein kicking in there. I don't do any red meats from that point. I'll do all, white meats, chickens and porks or whatever. And then by that time I'm ready to go back into my salmons and whatever, but I stretched out like over the course of a day. So it would be first thing is a little bit of oil, wait a couple hours.
So we're not going to like crush
it. No, that'd be a bad idea. But again, bathroom's down that way.
Yeah. That's great. So if you're going to fast with us Sunday, you want to start cutting out the glucose. You want to start doing low glycemic foods. That'll lead you into Tuesday. You can join us for Tuesday's show, and we'll all kind of kick off the fast together. I'm going to see if I can't get Dr.
What's your last meal? You're doing dinner and then nothing?
Once we come on the show. That'll be it.
Okay.
So then go to bed that night, and then all day Wednesday, and then Thursday till we come back to the show.
Okay.
So.
Dinner to dinner. Dinner Tuesday to dinner Thursday.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. When I leave the show Thursday, we'll have eaten whatever we eat here to break
the fast. And let me give you this warning, guys. And if you're following us there, you have to listen to your body when you do this stuff. There has been times when I started doing a fast and my body said, no, it's not right. Mm. You eat when your body says that it's time to eat. And I'm not talking like the temptations.
Say my body says it's time to eat a lot, Joe.
But if it says like you start getting sick or whatever, you can go back to the drawing board and come back and do this again. You can really do a lot of damage if you do this, your timing's wrong, especially like if we're hitting into a cold and season, you might like start starving your body out and your immune system is fighting something off. So listen to that and get right back into eating so that you don't get a bad cold or pneumonia or something like that.
Well, and I think
it's
really important for anybody that's going to do this. You know, you should probably check with your doctor. I mean, especially if you're on medications or anything like that, like you need to don't be like Joe and Doug said they're fasting on Tuesday. I'm not taking my medications for those couple of days. Like all of that stuff. And all of this stuff run through your doctor. Joe's been doing this a while personally, but neither of us are doctors. So please check with your doctor.
And
if you have
I will tell you, like, I do a 72 hour fast regularly. And I would say every third time I have to bail out early just because I follow what my feel goods. Like when you, okay. So you get a little bit of most of the pain within the first day.
Right.
And then once your body gets into its stage, it should feel pretty good. You shouldn't feel overly hungry. You get a visit every once in a while, some hunger pains, maybe a fighting headache, and you should be able to stave that off with some electrolytes. But if you go down for the count and you start getting shivers and fevers and whatever, bail on it and start again.
Yeah, shakes, anything low blood sugar, something like that, go eat. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But by all means, check with your doctor. Don't take our word for it. Neither of us are medical experts. So please check with your doctor. But we're going to start that on Tuesday. So Sunday, you want to start the prep. Tuesday, we're going to fast. Maybe we'll have to do like a Facebook Live and jump on together on Wednesday.
Let's do regular. Let's just see if we can come on like a Zoom type of thing and we'll check in. We'll just do a quick 5-minute ones every day.
How are you feeling?
So that everybody can kind of follow us through this.
That's a good idea. So yeah, so you can kind of follow us throughout. And then Thursday we'll be on to break our fast next week. I'll talk to Dr. Mike and see if we can't snag.
Now, what would you be interested if you had doctor in the room right now? Like, what would what would be going through your brain?
I think my biggest question for Dr. Mike on some of the fasting stuff would be the spiritual side of it, but I'd love to get into some of the neurological side of it. You know, we mentioned those pathways and those, but I'm sure there's more to that.
For sure.
And I think there's probably even some nutritional stuff that you could do to help enhance that. We hear people all the time that they have a chemical imbalance, right? And they have to go on medication because of a chemical imbalance. And I'm wondering if fasting, nutrition, supplements can help some of that chemical imbalance. I'm sure there is to some point. And obviously some people need to be on medications, and that's important that they follow what their, doctors are telling them to do. But realistically, if your chemicals are out of balance, you should be able to bring them back into balance.
Right.
Letting food be thy medicine, as they say.
Right. Now, insulin plays a big role in this. And I have a theory about when people are diabetic and their insulin, it gets all goofed up and their body either overproduces, underproduces. And what we're doing through a fast creates a sensitivity. So like when we get back to things again, your body's going to respond to the food you eat different than it did before the fast. So I always wonder if there's a way to coach your body back in to overcome either, type one or even type two. I mean, a lot of people say that once you lose the function of insulin, you don't ever get it back. Mm-hmm. I want to challenge it. I'm thinking that your body could do some amazing things when put in the right scenario. So I want to know whether or not you can take a type 2 diabetic and bring them back from.
I've seen there's been several, even a couple even at church that have gone through massive health transformations and come off all their medicines and were even type 2 using insulin and come back off everything due to health stuff. So I think you certainly can. The question is, how quickly and what sort of stuff I think do you need to do? I'd love to do some supplement conversations. You mentioned your fish oil and it made my, we got tons of supplements, but how much have I researched those? And I'm like, oh yeah, we want to boost the immune system, get some folic acid and some zinc. And, you get the standard brand at, Rite Aid or wherever. And I wonder the supplemental side of this. You mentioned the fish oil and what else is out there? Does it really help you? Does it not help
you? Joe's opinion? Because I'm opinionated on this one.
Well, I think it'd be fun to for you and Dr. Mike.
Okay, so I'll save those opinionations.
To square off and sword fight over it. So
yeah,
and maybe he'll agree with you.
And I'll kind of give you the primer here is that a while ago, when I talked to nutritionists or people who specialize in this stuff, they said that most of the stuff that you buy commercially, because you don't set your body up in a certain way, that you end up just making very expensive pee and the other thing. Right. And because your body can't digest what you threw at it anyway. So technically, it could do good for you if your body knew how to make use of it.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, Tuesday we start fasting. So prep on Sunday, join us back here on Tuesday, and we will all jump into a fast together, and then we'll break it next Thursday. It's going to be good.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.